Senate Bill 59 is to provide for certain increases in state minimum wages. Yeah, I think David went to get him. While we're at East, the box will remain on so that we get some interesting comments for the people downstairs to print and dispense to our constituents. Good morning, Senator Ketzel. Senate Bill 59. Proponents.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the prestigious State Affairs Committee. I always look forward to the honor of coming before you with legislation that I hopefully think we can all agree on. Look forward to advancing the people in need in the state of South Dakota the most. So, this bill, Senate Bill 59, has been before you before, more than once, in fact. This being the 10th year that I've been in the legislature, I know it has come to the legislature for 10 years straight, at least, and I know it was here before that. As I tried to remember the last time that we increased the minimum wage in the state of South Dakota, the best of my recollection, I think it's been 6 years, and hopefully if there is anybody who's opposed to this bill, they'll be able to clarify me if need be, but I think it was 6 years ago the last time that we raised the minimum wage in South Dakota. You can imagine in your own lives, in your own business, if you were to go 6 years without a raise, how frustrated you would be. That passes along, if you will, to the people today who are still working at minimum wage. And we do have people in the state that work for minimum wage, more than just high school students, college students. We've got a number of single parents, women in particular, that are working for low wages in our state. One of the questions that I was asked before was, if we raise the minimum wage, do you really think that anybody will be affected by it, since in previous year's testimony we have heard, well, nobody pays minimum wage, why would we worry about raising it? Well, if nobody pays minimum wage, then why would we worry about raising it? I asked the same question, because it makes no sense at all to leave it way down there at $5.15 an hour. If no one's paying that anyway, let's raise it up to where they're at. They shouldn't have a problem or a concern with that then. Senate Bill 59 raises the minimum wage in a three-step increment. It would, as of October 1st of this month, or this year rather, it would raise it from $5.15 to $5.50 an hour. January 1st of 2003, it would raise it to $5.85 an hour. And April 1st of 2003, it would bring it up to the level of $6.25 an hour. That's a $1.10 increase over that period of time. And when you run those numbers out and you figure 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year, at $6.25 an hour, it's $13,000. $13,000 a year in South Dakota is, as we are all well aware, is poverty wages. And I think that for us to set the bar as low as we do at $5.15 an hour, this gives us an opportunity to raise that same bar and help those people that need it the most. I got an interesting email yesterday from a young lady in Harrisburg. Her name is Lacey Trigg, and I'm assuming she doesn't mind if I use her email since she sent it to me. She says, "My opinion on this bill is that it's a great idea. I think that if this bill is passed, it will benefit a great amount of people. There are many high school and college students that are working for minimum wage right now, and if it is raised, the change could most likely benefit their education options and abilities." Well, that came from a student firsthand who realizes the impact of raising the minimum wage. It does help younger kids in the event that they are looking ahead to college, gives them an opportunity to hopefully save some money so that they can advance their education options and their abilities. And for those who are already in school, it provides them added income, and because we're all aware that the cost of education is going higher and higher all the time, and it will help those that need it the most there. Previously, we've heard in testimony from opponents to this that say, well, we'll wait and we'll do it when they do it at the federal level. That's a long wait. It's been at least 6 years. These people that are working for minimum wage and, quite frankly, under $6.25 an hour are the people who will be affected by this. Those people are the ones that need the help. They need it now. You know, in South Dakota, we don't hear it enough, but we are being hit harder with job layoffs than people realize. The ones that spring to our mind, of course, are the recent closing of Homestake Mine, and then we also can look across the state. Since we now are a manufacturing state, we have found out that you can take and look in Watertown, for example, at Minnesota Rubber there. You can look up in Aberdeen at some of their larger employers. And we're experiencing layoffs all over. These people who are working in manufacturing and production line jobs generally make somewhere around $9 an hour, roughly. If they lose that job and they start looking around at their job options are not going to pay that kind of money. If we can raise that bar again to where we can help those people that are going to be in this category of the amount of money that they earn, I think it's the right thing to do.
Senator Ketzel, if I may.
Yep.
It's been brought to my attention that we got a couple more bills very similar to yours, and this may have to be a repeat for you to come back and speak to us again. But what I was wondering, if do we have out-of-town people here that are going to testify on this bill? Because we don't want to shortchange them if they have come in from out of town.
I'm not from out of town, but I'm going to be out of town all of next week. Testify.
Okay. The chair has decided to hold this over, and we'll take the other bills along with this one. But we want to make sure that anybody who may not be able to testify next week and is here, we want to hear their testimony.
Well, I can save the rest of this till next week if you prefer that, Mr. Chair. That's fine with me. I'll be here.
Okay. I would. Oh, shoot. No. That's great.
I did set myself up for that one, I have to admit.
Yes. For the benefit of the audience, Senator Ketzel and I once in a while throw a few barbs one way or the other, and we enjoy it. Thank you very much, Senator Ketzel, and I appreciate you coming back. And
sure.
I would assume that it would be on maybe Wednesday or Friday.
Okay. I'll be back.
Thank you very much. Other proponents to Senate Bill 59.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Carol Robertson. I'm director of the South Dakota Family Economic Self-Sufficiency Project. We have recently received a Bush Foundation grant to establish and develop specific strategies to help South Dakota families achieve economic self-sufficiency. One of our first goals is to come up with a name that's easier to say and easier for everyone to remember, but our goal is self-sufficiency for South Dakota families. We recognize that raising the minimum wage is not going to alone bring families out of poverty in South Dakota. However, it is one step, and it's an important step. So many of the families that we work with are families that are just coming off of welfare or maybe never have been on welfare. They may be farm families where the wife is in town working, but what they all hold in common is that they are generally trying to provide for families, they're trying to pay child care, their housing costs, all of the costs that are associated with living and working in South Dakota. One of the first goals that was reached by the self-sufficiency project was the development of the South Dakota Family Economic, or excuse me, the self-sufficiency standard for South Dakota. the information contained in here is pretty revealing as to what it takes a family to live and work in any county of the state. A full-time employee on minimum wage actually makes less than the federal poverty guideline, and the federal poverty guideline itself is a very inadequate measure of how families are doing. Just an example, in Hughes County, the amount, the self-sufficiency wage, the wage that it would take for a single adult with one child who needs child care to meet their very basic needs would be $8.47 an hour. We don't come close to that. Fortunately, there are some benefits that are available to working families, but South Dakota not only ranks lowest in wages throughout the country, but we also tend to rank lowest in benefits that are available to families, both from employers and from the state. The state of South Dakota provides child care assistance, but requires a higher copay than most any state in the nation. We also make it available to fewer families in terms of where they fall on the federal poverty guideline. So raising the minimum wage would significantly benefit working families, particularly single parent working families. The argument is often that in rural communities, employers could not afford to pay these wages, and yet it is employers in rural areas that stand to benefit the most. Most single parents do not want to leave their rural communities. That's where their supports are. That's where they feel comfortable in having their children. And yet they're often forced to leave the community seeking a better wage to raise their families. I would echo everything that Representative Ketzel has said, particularly in terms of people trying to better their lives through education and training, and working their way towards that goal. Trying to exist on minimum wage, we put obstacles in the way of their achieving self-sufficiency. So I guess that's about the conclusion of my remarks. Again, I would say raising the minimum wage is just one strategy, and it alone is not going to bring people out of poverty, but it's a step in the right direction. Thank you. Any questions?
Just a minute. Does any of the committee members have any questions? Carol may not be back for testimony next week, so if you have any questions. Senator Brose.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. What is the federal poverty level now?
Federal poverty, are you talking in terms of what's the
Well, you referred to it, yes. You said that minimum wage now is less than the federal poverty level. And what is the federal poverty level?
Federal poverty level right now for a family of three is just around $13,000, I believe. And full-time minimum wage is $13,781. Most people aren't working full-time if they're receiving minimum wage. They tend to have part-time jobs with no benefits.
So basically, then, if it's around 13,000, we know it could be someplace between 9 and 20. I was trying to just understand, you know, because I did figure out what you said, and I didn't know. I want to know if, does anyone here know what the federal poverty level is today? You said for a family of three, around 13,000, is that?
I'm saying 13,000, give or take $500. It's not a big difference. I know it's just over 13,000.
Okay. Someone else may refer to it too, and I'll get it from them.
Senator Whiting.
Well, I'm always a bit concerned when we try in this body to repeal the law of supply and demand, like repealing the law of gravity, I suppose. Do you have any feel for how many people would actually lose their jobs if the minimum wage were to be increased? I mean, how many employers would simply not be able to employ people at that level and would therefore dismiss them and put them back on the market?
I honestly don't have any knowledge of that. All I can tell you is the information that I've read on a national level, particularly something from the Economic Policy Institute, which specifically addresses that and says there is no evidence. I mean, that's always used as an argument, and yet there's no evidence that that has happened when the minimum wage has been raised at the federal level or in states that have moved forward and moved their minimum wage that the statistics aren't there to support.
Can I ask just a follow-up question?
Yeah, Senator Whiting.
Would your organization support the proposition that that persons who cannot, say business people, who cannot afford to pay the minimum wage should go out of business? In other words, yeah.
Of course we wouldn't support that. I mean, what would...
But that's the consequence of your proposal.
Well, we don't know that for sure, do we?
Well, it's inevitable that there'll be some people, there'll be some economic pursuits that do not justify a minimum wage. And so your organization, it would seem to me, is thus saying that it should be illegal in this country to pursue economic objectives that cannot create the minimum wage.
They
cannot sustain the minimum wage.
What are you talking about specifically? Establishments.
I would say somebody in a farmer's market in the summer needs some help, but just can't afford to pay the minimum wage.
And do those establishments pay the current minimum wage?
Well, let's say they do, but they can just make it at the current minimum wage. I mean, inevitably, it seems to me we have to accept the proposition that inevitably a minimum wage, and certainly and any increase in a minimum wage, will, by raising the bar, will make it impossible for some entrepreneurs, some business people, to continue their activity. I mean, that seems to me that's virtually a given. Now, maybe that's what we want.
Well, I think that
what
we want...
Does your organization want that?
What our organization wants is for the low-income working families to be able to, through education and training and working hard, be able to have the opportunity to achieve the American dream, like those who are at the middle income or higher. I've lived in South Dakota all my life, and you'd think after 50 years that maybe I would be more of a realist than I am, and I think that's kind of what you're asking, and yet I tend to believe that we do not always have to be at the bottom in terms of how we pay our lowest wage earners, the benefits that we provide to them, just the support that we provide to families in raising them to the point where they can become self-sufficient and can give back to the state. When we're tightening the belts, we tend to look at the lowest income wage workers as being the ones that ought to pull it tightest.
I might just make a quick follow-up, brief follow-up.
One, brief.
And that would be that what we're doing here by increasing minimum wage, I think we have to recognize, is that we're saying that businesses must be able to jumpstart. You can't have a business that gradually becomes more and more successful and is able to pay more and more. We're going to really be preventing those people from ever even beginning in business if they can't jump start by paying this minimum wage or increased minimum wage. It seems to me that I would prefer to let the market dictate whether or not somebody should be in business. If he can't find any employees, he's not going to be in business. But if you have a willing employer and a willing employee, why not let them go into business? Because that business person who can barely afford the current minimum wage a few years from now might be extremely successful and be able to pay a very high wage, but under this sort of a proposal, he won't exist in the future.
One of the strategies that is part of this project is microenterprise development. We see many of the South Dakota families that we're working with who are at the lower end of the wage scale working their way toward becoming entrepreneurs themselves. I don't think that what you're saying is incongruent with with what we want to do here. There are also safeguards that are built into the federal law. Now, maybe I shouldn't call them safeguards, but exemptions for certain employers under certain circumstances in which they could pay a lower wage. I assume those would continue, I know they would continue to be in place.
Senator Dugard, you had a question?
Yes, I'm just wondering if you have any information on what percentage of people who are paid the minimum wage are minors and what percentage are adults? Do you have any information on that?
I don't have that on a, you know, on a state basis.
Well, as we have these questions come forward, this is maybe a good deal to have a bill deferred until next week, and that way we will try to get answers for these questions that the committee members had, Senator Burroughs and Senator Dugard, and we'll maybe even tap Senator Kessel to make sure that these answers are forward. Certainly will. Capital letters, broad print. Are there any further questions of Carol? If Senator Hutmacher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kind of along the lines that Senator Whiting was going,
would you mind if I, there's a guy hitting me on the head with I think. No, just a minute.
Thank you.
Senator, Governor, get back here. Now, either he doesn't have his hearing aid on or he's just plainly ignoring. Well, thank you for the.
When the patrolman stops me, can I say the governor gave this to me personally?
I'm sure it will work. Yeah, I'm trying. Excuse me, Senator Hutmacher and Carol. I apologize for the interruption, but
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
Back to kind of along the lines that Senator Whiting was, I guess, the question that he asked. Have you seen any stats on when the minimum wage raises? What happens with, I guess, people that are on, you know, fuel assistance or heating assistance or things like that? How many of them come back off of that and the benefit back to, you know, the government because those people aren't on there?
You know, I have to tell you that this project has just started. I just was hired a few days ago officially. I have a ton of information available from various sources, and I don't have it here together. You know, I know in terms of the benefit it is to families who are struggling. Any little bit helps in terms of job satisfaction, in terms of their ability to stay within a community. I think those are all costs that have to be looked at by employers, too. But specific information about what you've asked, no, I don't know. I know that there's also the difficulty that a lot of people face when they first begin a job, whether they're coming off welfare or they're just beginning at a low-wage job. They are eligible for child care assistance, you know, maybe some housing assistance or whatever. About the time that they just begin to get to the point where they can cover the basic costs for their family, it's like they reach a cliff and they fall off because those benefits are jerked back right away. A family trying to survive on minimum wage, even if they are a two-parent working family in this state where both are paid minimum wage, it's pretty unlikely that they're going to be able to provide for their family at even a very minimum level without considering a pizza once a month or Christmas gifts or putting anything away for a child's education or emergencies that come up.
Thank you very much, Carol, for your testimony. Really appreciate it, and I think you have done very well having been only on the job for a few days or a few weeks.
Well, I've been a volunteer for a year, but...
That's what does it. We need more volunteers like you.
Thank you.
Are there other proponents from out of town? Are there opponents from out of town? Seeing none, then we will close the discussion on Senate Bill 59, and we will move that to next week's calendar. And I'm not sure if it will be Wednesday or Friday.